Fred Film Radio. Silent Film Festival, Pordenone, Italy.
The Apash of Athens, a landmark 1930 Greek film, had been lost for decades, but was recently, or relatively recently, found and restored thanks to the wonderful work of the Greek Film Archive. In fact, the film was part of this year's limited edition of the Pordenone Silent Film Festival, where I personally came across it. And joining us at this time to tell us more about the archive, this particular film, why it's such an important film for Greek film history, and a little bit about the early history of film in Greece, is the director of the Greek Film Archive, Maria Komnenos. Maria, welcome to the show.
Hi, Matt. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, it's a real pleasure. I film preservation is something that is near and dear to my heart. And I'd love to start off this interview by just asking you to tell us a little bit about the Greek Film Archive. Could you tell us about its history and mission statement?
Yes, the Greek Film Archive was started like a cine club in the 50s, where film directors and cinephiles went to watch rare films, which were sent by Cinémathèque Française mainly, but also from other archives. In 1963, it became, by royal decree, a foundation, the unique foundation for film preservation and cultivation of cinephilia in Greece. Another important and turning point for the archive is the year 2009, when the cinemas and the library were installed and inaugurated in a new building, which is now in Iera Odos, the site from which the Greek Film Archive is functioning. It has, of course, a separate depot and laboratory where its collection, together with the collection of the Greek Film Center, are preserved, and sometimes restoration work takes place. It is an institution very much loved by the public, and it also has got very strong relations with the international movement of film archives, as represented by FIEF, and also by the Association of European Cinematheques, ACE. I think these are the major points in the development of the archive, from a small cine club to the only national archive that has the collection of silent films, because the rest of films, of Greek films, are scattered between producers and some merchants who bought the copies, and those that have been deposited with the Greek Film Archive. It has also gone forward and digitized part of its archive, and of course, in this context, it has digitized Les Apaches d'Athènes, the Apaches of Athens, which is the film I suppose we're going to speak today, and maybe what sparked your interest to our work.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll talk about that a little later on. But from what you said there, generally speaking, you'd say that Greece is good or interested at preserving film and pays sufficient attention to film preservation?
I must say there is more lip service than actual deeds. I mean, of course, it was very important when, in the end of the last century, the socialist government of Kostas Simitis, with the now Minister of Culture, Mrs. Menzoni, as responsible for European infrastructural works, took the decision and gave to the Greek Film Archive a substantive grant of more than 7 million euros for building this splendid multi-activities building in Hieraudos. And of course, this is very important because we've got finally a state of the art archive. However, in terms of granting money for an annual program of film preservation, I would say no, this has not happened. We hope, of course, that because of the great success of the Apache, which was first presented last year in February in the important and splendid auditorium of the Greek National Opera with tremendous success, that maybe the state will be more open to our demands for a steady sum each year so that we can have an annual budget for preservation.
Has the situation gotten even perhaps more challenging with the coronavirus pandemic?
Well, of course, it's a difficult situation, but there is enough money if they decided to put this issue in their agenda to go with the preservation of three or four films a year. Well, for the moment, there is no provision for such a project.
Yeah, absolutely. I understand. This is an issue that's happening in most parts of the world, unfortunately, and it's kind of
not
sad.
In Europe. I think Greece is unique in Europe in this context. All other film archives get a substantive budget to do film preservation.
All right, so let's get to the Apache of Athens. This was, of course, a film that was presented at the Pordenone Silent Film Festival, and I suppose it does show how valuable the work of the Greek Film Archive is. We all enjoyed it during the festival, but I'd love to find out more about its history a little bit before, the historical background of the film. So what was happening in Greek cinema at the time?
The 30s was a period when a company called DAG Films was created from three brothers who had studied in Germany. The one who is also the film director, Dimitris Gaziadis, had already made some successful films, and he decided to try his luck with this operetta. I must say there were some other attempts making silent films, some of which have been preserved in our archive, but they didn't have the technical quality and the production value that the Apache and the other film directed again by Gaziadis, Astero, have. So there is production, most of which has been lost. And there is interest by the Greek public, but not the quality and the production value that you can find in Italy or in other European countries like Denmark, like Britain. This is more or less the situation. And of course, the fact that most of that production has been lost. I mean, the Greek Film Archive has managed to find around 10 films, which it has preserved and digitized, which are the unique surviving examples of the Greek film production.
Yeah, absolutely. Because this was the first sort of, speech and sound film? Speech and music?
Well, it calls itself the first singing and speaking film. What it was that the Gaziadis made an effort to use this technology between silent and sound, which meant that discs were played and synchronized depending on the state of the apparatuses used by the cinema, synchronized with the film. So it is a very interesting hybrid stage in the development of sound.
Yes. Before then, though, what was the situation? Was it an organized film production system in Greece? What was it like? I mean, the film culture there.
As I told you, DAG was organized. I mean, they had a short mountain adventure, as we call it, Astera, short on location and very, very well organized. There is another film based on Daphnis and Chloe, an adaptation of this novel of the second century after Dominion. And there were a lot of comedies, most of which were lost, with the exception of our first surviving film in 1923 called The Adventures of Villar. So I suppose we could speak of about 60 or 70 films. There was some production, but of course not something systematic, nothing to compare with the studio system of other European countries. I mean, there was interest, but nothing very systematic.
Maria painted a picture of what was happening in the Greek film world at the time of this production. But let's talk about the film itself. Can you tell us about the story it tells and where the story came from? And for starters, who were the Apache? Which, of course, aren't the Apaches of Westerns and of American Westerns. But who were the Apache that the title refers to?
The story is based on an operetta by the same title, The Apache of Athens, which was written and produced in 1920 and which has been an enormous success. It's been playing for years, Full House, and then Gaziadis decided to cooperate with the librettist Prineas, who also plays a role in the film, and adapted to the medium of film and also to the changing zeitgeist. Because, you know, the 20s was a period of optimism, whereas the 30s, a lot of adverse developments have taken place in Greece. Greece had lost territories in Asia Minor. 1 million of refugees came back. And also there was the beginning of the Great Depression. So the story is simple. Pierre Lambetis is handsome and noble young man, but who really hasn't got any money. He stays with two buddies, Karoubas and Karkaletsos, and they try to make ends meet until they are called by a cunning secretary to a very rich man to go to their house, and Pierre will pretend to be a prince. Real blue blood aristocrat. The only problem is that when Pierre goes there, he founds a girl whose life he has saved accidentally and with whom he had fallen in love. However, there was another girl in Pierre's life, the poor but really handsome flower-selling Titika. So, two worlds, two girls, and a happy end, because Pierre gets a handsome money. He inherits his uncle, and he opts for the poor girl. A little bit, this is the story of Les Apaches. Les Apaches are the poor and naughty, but not underworld people, inspired by Apache in Paris, who maybe were more near the underworld, but in the operetta and in the film, they're just poor devils but have good humor. You know, they go around, drink a little wine, sing. So they are naughty, but not criminal. Let's say they are not deviant. And you have the two worlds: the world of poverty, which is so nicely depicted because a great part of the film is shot in locations in neighborhoods of Athens, such as picturesque Plaka and Thession, and we get a glimpse of settlements of refugees. And then we get riches, but real style, because the rich man, who is the dad of the beautiful rich girl, well, he lives in a palace. The film was shot on location in the royal palace in Tatoi. And that, of course, gives real production value to the film.
Right, it's a documentation of the places as well. Rather than being shot in the studio, the cameras were taken to the streets. And that makes it all the more valuable for modern days. Because we talked about the sound aspect, but then there's that aspect as well. When we recover films from the past, we also catch glimpses of what life looked like back then firsthand.
But precisely this is what makes the film so important, because Gaziadis realized he couldn't do what foreign operettas did, which, as you know, had a lot of production value from studio. There was no way he could use studios. There were not such studios in Greece. So he decided to do what he called provide authentic images of Athens. And because he had worked in Germany with Wilhelm Pabst and with Fritz Lang, he really knew his craft, and he provided, as you might have watched from the film, very interesting, let's say, avant la lettre cinéma vérité. I mean, that was really a realist depiction of Athens.
What kind of an audience was this film geared at? In other words, who would have seen this film at the time?
I suppose everybody. It was extremely popular. As I was telling you, the operetta had been watched almost by the whole town of Athens. I mean, the kind of receipts it has made, they were colossal. And so was the film.
So regardless of class.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And the film had been censored in a sense, because as I was telling you, as the period changed, as Greece had entered into a crisis, things became a bit more puritanical. For instance, whereas in the operetta, Pierre and Titika had a sexual relationship, that is not in the film. Everything is very pure.
So the film was lost for a long time. I believe
the film was lost for about 70 years.
70 years, right.
Yes, we all thought that the film is lost. We could find reviews about the film, but nothing. Not even a sequence, nothing. And then 6 years ago, in Cinémathèque Française, they were given a copy. And when the researcher there, who is Greek, went through it, she found the French title, Le Prince de Guerre, but then she discovered that was a Greek film with French intertitles. So there we are. We get very excited. And of course, Kostas Gavras, who is the president of Cinémathèque, got immediately involved in the project. He put it under his aegis, and with his help and the help of the musicians, who were also very excited that they could compose music for that kind of film, we managed to get the grant from the Stavros Niarchos Foundation. Stavros Niarchos Foundation is a very powerful cultural foundation. It has built the National Opera and the Greek Library. Our central library has moved into their premises. They have a fantastic opera house, and they decided to give us the grant for restoration and for writing the music from scratch, because all the discs had been lost.
So, yeah, can you tell me a little more about that part, the collaboration with the musicians? Because obviously that was the way in which you had to sort of make up for the loss of its original soundtrack, which was not recovered.
Already when we were discussing about this discovery, two very important people from the Greek National Opera, its now director, George Koumendakis, and the member of the board, the musicologist and performer, Yannis Abrovalakis, got extremely interested in the project. With the result that Yannis Abrovalakis, who together with composer Yannis Tselikas have settled a center for Greek music, immediately turned to the operetta, that transcribed the operetta, and then also found some songs which were written especially for the film. We didn't find the original discs, but we found the songs. So they set up to work, and with the help and assistance of Elektra Vernaki, who was responsible on the part of the Greek Film Archive for the restoration, but it also happens that she is an editor focusing on sound, they composed a musical piece for the whole film. So in a sense, maybe this is something that did not exist at the time. That is, we have located specific sections of the film and we found the songs, but this is also a new composition, a new oeuvre that has been made for this film. And the audience, both in Athens and in Bologna and in Pordenone, I think they have loved it.
Yeah, so the reaction was good when it was actually, when the film premiered.
Yes, it was an enthusiastic reaction. And we had the representatives from big film archives, Frédéric Mer from Lausanne. We had from the Cinemateca Portuguese, from I Film Museum, Robert Burns from San Francisco Silent Film Festival, and of course our great collaborators Céline Rivaud from Cinémathèque Française and Elena Tamacaro from the Laboratory of Imaginary Trovato in Bologna and in Paris.
That sounds really wonderful.
But really around 2,000 people who were really enthusiastic to watch this resurrected Apache film.
Right. Well, Maria, it's been a fascinating story that you shared with us. Thank you for taking the time.
I thank you very much, Matt. It has been a pleasure that you showed interest in this new treasure of our collection.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.